Welcome to the wisdom and wit of Father Matthew Guckin. Over the years, Father Matthew Guckin has produced many wonderful teaching series, and we are delighted to showcase a number of them for you. On today's show, an episode from his series on the Gospel of St. John. Here's Father Guckin.
Hello, Father Matt. How are you?
Hi, Dave. Good to be back.
Good to be back.
I'm loving this series on the Gospel according to St. John. I always think that the best way to learn, for me anyway, mm-hmm. is to teach.
Yes.
And so it's been refreshing to go back to the Gospel of John, because you always pick something up, whether it's
Absolutely.
Something different. You know, even sometimes when I'm reading at Mass, mm-hmm. reading the Gospel, I'll be reading it, and then all of a sudden, like, something will pop out at me. It's the craziest thing. Like, and I had read it earlier that morning, but I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, I didn't even realize that. That's kind of cool.
Lectio Divina. I mean, we read something, and then if we really grab onto it, we go deep. And then we could reread it, you know, 2 hours later or two days later.
Well, that Gospel passage where Jesus and the apostles are walking through Samaria, it's not the one we're going to cover in this session, but they run across some Samaritans and the sons of thunder, James and John.
It's, mm-hmm.
One time it just, at the pulpit as I was reading it, it just jumped out at me. Hey, they're doing whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. Do you want us to call down fire from heaven? It's like, Jesus, it's almost like a Mel Brooks moment, like in a black and white, like you just want to see Jesus doing a deadpan looking at the camera. That all came to me one time a few years ago. As I was like, you feel like saying, you idiots, you don't get it? Like,
really?
I've been talking about mercy, for heaven's sake.
We can have him cooked right on the spot. Like, boom.
Yeah. As if he's a magic man, boom.
Yeah.
Boom shakalaka.
Okay.
So.
But yeah.
So we're going to dive into chapter 5.
Those images come into our minds from time to time.
Very scary.
And you were at the pulpit.
I start laughing.
Okay.
I think I had three psychiatrists come up to me afterwards and said, do you have time on Monday morning? Because I have a free slot open.
I have an opening. So. Okay. Well, Father Matt, thank you. It's so good to see you, seriously.
Yeah, same here.
And so where do you want to start on? Let me do a preface. We are going to be doing 5 and 6 today.
Okay.
Chapters 5 and 6 in the book of John. Is that correct?
The Gospel of John.
Of John, yes.
Yeah, again, let's go back to what I said in the first session. John is a playa, right? So there's mm-hmm. 27 books in the New Testament. John wrote 5 of them.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big... it's almost as many as Paul, because he wrote the Gospel that we're going through, and then he wrote 3 of the letters, and then the book of Revelation, the Apocalypse. So, John is...
It's pretty heavy stuff,
And it is heavy stuff. And that's why, when we go back over it for me anyway, there's one eye-opener after another, that's kind of cool. So I'm going to try to pick up on that based on some recent prayer and study that I've done on this session, okay?
So how would you like to start? Do you want me to jump right into the reading, or you want to do some of the reading?
Let's start at the very beginning. It's a very fine place to start.
Sorry.
I should put a tune to that. How about if you read the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, and then I'll do my best to help people understand it.
Okay. The Gospel of John, chapter 5. Jesus heals on the Sabbath. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, a pool, in Hebrew, called Bethesda, which has 5 porticos. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who was cured, "It is the Sabbath, It is not lawful for you to carry your pallet. But he answered them, The man who healed me said to me, Take up your pallet and walk. They asked him, Who is the man who said to you, Take up your pallet and walk? Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, and there was a crowd in the place. Afterward Jesus found him in the temple, and said to him, See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse befall you. The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews persecuted Jesus, because he did this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, My Father is working still, and I am working. This was why the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he had not only broke the Sabbath, but also called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. The authority of the Son. Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead, and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil, to the resurrection of judgment. Witnesses to Jesus, I can do nothing on my own authority. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I bear witness to myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness to me, and I know that the testimony which he bears to me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony which I receive is from man, but I say this, that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father has granted me to accomplish, these very works which I am doing, bear me witness that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness to me. His voice you have never heard, his form have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures, because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness to me. Yet you refuse to come to me, that you may have life. I do not receive glory from men, but I know that you have not the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, who receive glory from one another, and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. It is Moses who accuses you, on whom you set your hope. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?
You know, I mean, just there's a lot there, you know.
That's why I have you here, Father.
Okay. No, I thought it was the other way around, but okay. All right.
Wherever you want, Father. Now, that is very...
You know where I think a good place to start is where I used to work, Bethesda. Because that's where this takes place. It takes place at the Pool of Bethesda. Mm-hmm. And the names of... the names I find fascinating because they tell a story. And so even if you look at, say, St. Michael the Archangel, I love that name, Michael, which means it's a question. Mm-hmm. Like, who is like God? Mm-hmm. I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the difference between an angel and a devil. Mm-hmm. A devil says, no, I'm God. Yes. An angel says, who's like God? If you, mm-hmm. if you could see an angel and a devil having a conversation about that. Mm-hmm. And so I am God. Basically, that's the root of all sin, mm-hmm. right there. Pride, the ego. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Saint Michael says, well, who is like God? Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a lot in there. But I think with the name.
Well, which connotes like, yeah, no man is like God. No man can be like God.
No. And I think when you look at, say, statues of Saint Michael the Archangel, mm-hmm. you ever notice how, like, he's got the sword and the armor, mm-hmm. and he's just jacked and ripped, right? I mean, it's like, well, the beauty of that is that's all symbolic of his humility. That's why he's mm-hmm. protected, mm-hmm. because he's humble.
Yes.
You know, when we start claiming the status of divinity, that's when the trouble starts.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
So it's a, but anyway, when we come and relate that etymology mm-hmm. to the fifth chapter here, I think a good place to start is Bethesda. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where this takes place. And
what was the significance of Bethesda?
Yeah, well it's interesting because I've been to the Holy Land, I think I've mentioned it here before, mm-hmm. five times, and one was just this past January. And in 2023. And so anytime any name or geography comes up, mm-hmm. Right away my mind goes to, oh, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
Right? And so my memories of that place, Bethesda, which is right near there's different gates on the way. I think it's near the sheep gate, probably in there, mm-hmm. probably in what you just proclaimed. But I think it's near the sheep gate. There's different gates. There's like the dung gate, Damascus gate, sheep mm-hmm. gate. But there's a chapel right next to the Pool of Bethesda, and it's called St. Anne's. The acoustics, when I say perfect, I mean perfect. I mean, like, you could burp and it would sound like Pavarotti. I mean, it is just so beautiful. Wow. But anyway, so the pool's there. So Bethesda, let's go
we
back.
We need acoustics like that here.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Father, yeah. can I digress a little bit? I mean, you mentioned, you know, where the Sheep Gate. And it goes an entryway right. in the northeastern wall of mm-hmm. Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Used in bringing sheep to the temple for sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Two pools were built in the same area of the city. They were surrounded mm-hmm. by four colonnade walkways and separated by a fifth portico running between them. One of these pools was Bethesda.
There you go. So there it is. And there's probably so many layers to this.
Oh, yes. Thank you for letting me read that.
Yeah, you're welcome. The scholars and the fathers of the church, they have all these connections, and mm-hmm. it's just, which is beautiful, like the sheep gate. That's where mm-hmm. the sheep were brought in mm-hmm. to be sacrificed. Well, here is the Lamb of God mm-hmm. right by the sheep gate. But Bethesda, Bethlehem, Beth, B-E-T-H, it means house. Like, and so Bethlehem means house of bread, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So there's all kinds of Eucharistic significance to that. Well, Bethesda means house of mercy. And so these pools were used for medicinal purposes, for mm-hmm. healing. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so invalids would go there hoping to be put in. Somebody would put them in. And somehow the water had healing power, the movement of the water bring about healing. So remember we talked about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, how she goes out at noon.
Yes.
Right, because there's nobody mm-hmm. around. Well, this area is really a place of disgrace. Right? This is where all the invalids are. All right. This is so they're around this place, so nobody. And I think that's very significant mm-hmm. for
the lowly, the lowest of the low.
And where's Christ
going?
In
societal terms, I guess.
Yeah, yes, yeah, day. Like, oh, you know.
The outcast, the pariahs?
Yeah. Sorry. keep going. I'll call you Sandwich. You're on a roll. But I think it's noteworthy because mm-hmm. this is where Christ goes, right?
Like, amen.
It would be like an ancient island of misfit toys. Mm-hmm. Right? He's going there. Okay. Now, Pope Francis said early in his pontificate, he talked about the church being a field hospital.
Yes, I love that.
And so do I. And here we see it. This is what he's getting at when he talks mm-hmm. about, like, here's, you know, Christ repeats it throughout Scripture. You know, I have not come for the healthy. I've come mm-hmm. for the sick. Well, here he isn't sick on many different levels. Mm-hmm. So it's a place of disgrace, and that's where our Lord goes to Bethesda, this house of mercy. Mm-hmm. So God going to give mercy. But then it takes place at one of the feasts, the mm-hmm. Jewish feasts. I think I'm going to just unpack that a little bit, if that's okay.
Like, sure.
Because the feasts, you know, I think we hear about them in Scripture and, you know, in the Gospels, and like, what does that mean? Like, mm-hmm. okay, this feast or that feast.
Yes.
Okay. So there were three feasts that Jews were within, say, a 15-mile radius of Jerusalem were obliged to go visit. They were obliged to go visit the temple. All right, so the three feasts are Passover, Tabernacles, and Pentecost, the Jewish feast mm-hmm. of Pentecost. So mm-hmm. Passover, hopefully our listeners understand Passover. It's mm-hmm. it's the angel of death passing over the home in Egypt where Jewish families were. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's now we as Christians mm-hmm. take that to the next level insofar as it. Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection. That's very Pasch, mm-hmm. P-A-S-C-H. It's passing mm-hmm. over. Mm-hmm. But for the Jews...
The Pascha,
okay? So mm-hmm. the Paschal candle, for mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. Well, the Jews had... They were there first, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
with the Passover. So that is a high holy day for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the feast of... Tabernacles, mm-hmm. all right, or Sukkot, and it's that feast where the Jews are called to rejoice in the beauty of God. That's a theme I return to a lot in my parish, mm-hmm. the importance of beauty. You know, we were saying off air before we came on here, you asked what I needed, and I said at Mount Carmel, I need two things.
Mm-hmm.
I need bread, I need wine. Those are things that I absolutely have to have. Everything else is meant to draw people to the Eucharist.
Yes.
And I mean everything from the bells in the tower to the mulch on the ground. Right? Mm-hmm. It's and then the beauty is meant not to be worshiped in and of itself, but to draw people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, so
mm-hmm.
this is the Feast of Tabernacles mm-hmm. is the Jewish obligation to rejoice in the beauty of God. But then there's this feast, try to get it out of your head, like our Christian Catholic Pentecost, but the Jews had their own Feast of Pentecost. It was also known the Feast of Weeks. 7 weeks after the Passover, mm-hmm. the Jews would celebrate, they're 49 days, mm-hmm. right? 50 days, I should say. The Jews would celebrate their feast of Pentecost, or sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. So you'll mm-hmm. see that mm-hmm. depending on the translation.
Mm-hmm.
And what that was commemorating was the giving of the law on Mount Sinai.
Mm. Yes.
Okay, so chronologically, you look at the Jewish history, you have the Jews exiting Egypt.
Mm-hmm. The Exodus.
The Exodus after the Passover.
Mm-hmm.
And then 7 weeks later, Moses is given the law.
Yes.
Right? And mm-hmm. so they're celebrating that giving of the law. The scholars, the research that I did for this, pretty good indication that last feast mm-hmm. is the context for the fifth chapter of John's gospel, this Feast of Pentecost. Now, here's the thing which I find deliciously ironic.
What's that?
Okay, so Jesus is condemned here by the religious authorities for violating the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. But here we clearly see Jesus being obedient to Jewish feast days, right? We find him being obedient to the Feast of Weeks of Pentecost here. So he's, but there's a need that, that takes place. There's a man mm-hmm. who is in dire need of healing.
Absolutely. Right?
So,
yes.
But that's what they nail him on, but they're overlooking the fact, well, wait a second, he's actually keeping mm-hmm. the Feast of Weeks. Violating the Sabbath, but keeping the Feast of Weeks. I think that deserves
there is irony
attention.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
well, they're looking. They're just they're threatened, and so they're looking.
Yeah,
to,
They're looking for a scapegoat.
Exactly. Literally.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we see that going on here at this time. But I do want to say a word, Dave, about the Sabbath. You know, like, when you survey YouTube or the internet in general, everyone seems to have, look, it's a broken and dark world. That's one thing I think we can all agree on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes,
and,
we can.
But the causes is, you know, where we go off. And both sides of the aisle, right? Both left and right sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. You know, this is wrong, but this is the reason. Here's my worldview. I do think that Catholics, especially since this is the audience I have here, not keeping the Sabbath, I think that is the cause of many, many of our societal ills, is the violation of the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. How and, so, in
well,
particular?
Well, I think
and
it's...
You want to delve into
sure.
that?
Sure. I think it's... essentially, this is what's going on, that, okay, God needed to rest, but I don't, right? Like...
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an expression of an overinflated ego. Like, basically what we were talking about at the beginning. Like,
yes.
like the devil saying, I'm God,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we're doing, right? Even mm-hmm. where, what the Jews were saying is in the Ten Commandments and in creation itself, even God rested. And, but I'm more important.
And so therefore I don't have to rest.
So I don't have to rest.
Yeah.
And I think from that flows all kinds of dire consequence. And I mean dire.
I agree.
So, yeah. I just think that keeping of the Sabbath. So I don't want to, you know, Jesus does work here, you mm-hmm. know, on the Sabbath day, to be sure. While it's true that God rested on the seventh day from his creative work, God never rests from his providential work of supplying the needs for his mm-hmm. his creatures.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think in the end, you know, just to sort of tie it, put a bow on chapter 5 of John's gospel, I think in the end, Jesus is identifying here for us three obstacles that prevent us from recognizing that he is the Messiah, which is what you see throughout this chapter. First of all, lack of love for God. Right, and this happens in the Catholic Church as well.
Mm-hmm.
The people are so attached to the things that are beautiful in the church, mm-hmm. which are meant to draw us mm-hmm. to the Eucharist. I talked about the bells in the tower, the mulch on the ground. All I need is bread and wine.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just footnotes,
mm-hmm.
you know, designed. But sometimes
yes.
those footnotes can be worship. So a lack of love for God, striving after human glory.
Mm-hmm.
This happens.
Yes.
This is another obstacle
mm-hmm.
that prevent us from recognizing Jesus for who he is. And I would say, like, how would I call this? Like a prejudiced interpretation of sacred scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes people use, priests can do it, Christians can do it. They bring to the table... Like, this is what God meant when this part of the Bible was written, and that's it. And there are certain scripture passages that are definitely like that, like as we'll see in the next chapter. But sometimes we can get so fixed into, no, this is, there's a prejudice in the very interpretation of God's word.
And the nuances, it becomes so nuanced at times.
It becomes nuanced at times, but I think sometimes, like, we become cocksure that, no, this is the yeah. meaning of it.
Yes.
And,
yes.
you know, I think, as I recall from my studies at the seminary, I remember a priest, one of my favorite teachers, who just passed away a short time ago, Father Fred Miller, talked about the letter of St. James, chapter 5, and how the church has always interpreted that one way, and that is, it is the establishment of the anointing of the sick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if we're going to have a prejudice, that's where we need it. Like, mm-hmm. no, this is definitely
yeah.
what was
we're
meant.
All in on this one.
Yeah, that's, yeah, that's yeah. the establishment of the anointing of the sick, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I, yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, thanks for giving me the opportunity, Dave, to talk about this chapter.
Well, we're doing very well. I mean, we were texting a little bit this morning, kind of early hours
yeah.
of the morning.
You know, I got up, I was saying, I was at a funeral, just coming from a funeral, I was saying to the priest, who I also was texting, he said, why did you text me at 4:30? You know, because I just got up, and I've learned as I've gotten older,
mm-hmm.
like, if I'm up, rather than tossing and turning, knowing I'm not going to get to sleep,
mm-hmm.
I just get up and start praying and then start working.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Yeah,
I think a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And if, rather than toss and turn, maybe those who are hearing this, if rather than toss and turn, maybe get up and start praying. My eyes pop open, and it's something like 3:30 a.m., and I'm thinking, well, I could get up early. No, I'll roll over. And yeah, but that happens to us all.
Yeah, I used to do that. And then I just found it the time wasn't being redeemed.
Exactly.
And so let me redeem this time.
Amen.
You know, and we're really blessed at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. I think I mentioned it in this series that we have a chapel in the rectory. And so
I think you did, yes.
Yeah, I can just sort of put my kerchief on and mosey on over to the chapel. And
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
I'm just kidding. I don't wear a kerchief. Yeah. I don't know many people.
Oh, I thought
do.
You were going to say you didn't mosey. You ran.
Yeah. Well, I don't run anymore. I'm okay. not sure I ever ran. Okay. I think I've always moseyed.
Well, thank you, Father Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
A very good exposition and discussion on John chapter 5.
Thanks, Dave. It's okay. great to be here with
so
you.
So I look forward to chapter 6 and see you on the flip side, okay?
Okay. See you. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for the Gospel of St. John with Father Matthew Guckin on Holy Spirit Radio. Thank you.